Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, entitled Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers, text number 32. Shrinvatam Grinatam Viryani Uddamani Harer Muhu Yatha Sujataya Bhaktya Shuddhenatma Vratadibhi Shrinvat. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: one who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the heart, which can cleanse from one's heart the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Purport: one may very easily practice chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord and thus become ecstatic in spiritual life. Padma Puran states, Nam aparada yuktanam namani eva haranti agam avishranti prayuktani tani evartha krani cha. Even if one chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra offensively, one can avoid offenses by continuously chanting without deviation. One who becomes accustomed to this practice will always remain in a pure transcendental position, untouchable by sinful reactions. Shukdev Goswami especially requested Parikshit Maharaj, King Parikshit, to note this fact very carefully. There is no profit, however, in executing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. By performing such activities, one may go to the higher planetary systems. But as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Shine Punya Marti Lokam Vishanti. When the period of one's enjoyment in the heavenly planets is terminated because of the limited extent of the results of one's pious activities, one must return to earth. It is better to chant the holy name of the Lord so that one may become fully purified and eligible to return home back to Godhead. That is the aim of life and that is the perfection of life. Nam grinatam viryani uddamani harer muhu yatha su jataya bhaktya shuddhen atma natma vratadibhi. One who constantly hears and chants the holy names of the Lord and hears and chants about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Srila Prabhupada mentions in this nice purport, as we are discussing Shukdev Goswami summarizing this wonderful pastime of Ajamil, deliverance of Ajamil, in which the essence or the theme is exclusive surrender to the holy name of the Lord. And here Shukdev Goswami is encouraging and is again emphasizing Parikshit Maharaj that all of this ritualistic ceremonies, vows and other performances will not give the desired result as much as taking to the shelter of the holy name of the Lord, glorifying the Sankirtan of the holy name. And in this way, the process is just to constantly hear and chant. And Srila Prabhupada writes that this Padma Puran shloka, which says that even if one chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra offensively, one can avoid offenses by continuously chanting without deviation. So today we're thinking of about focusing something on practicing devotional service without deviation. And in this way we find many shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita where Lord Shri Krishna explains to Arjuna the necessity of ananya bhakti, practicing devotional service without deviation, single-pointedly and absorbed. And Lord Shri Krishna explains in various shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita, and in the 6th chapter, 24th shloka, Sanishchayena yoktavyo yogo nirvinna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamabs taktva sarvan asheshata manasevindriya gramam viniyatmayamya samantatah. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all the sides by the mind. And Srila Prabhupada firstly writes, the yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. And Srila Prabhupada says that, and in various shlokas, in the Nectar of Instruction, that Ussaha Nishchaya Dhairya Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat. The necessity of executing devotional service with enthusiasm, with confidence, with determination, but also patience. Because when we try to apply the formula of Krishna consciousness and we find that everything is as per the formula applied, but still the results are not coming. And then one may lose gradually the faith. And therefore, the necessity of having faith in the sadhya, that is a goal, and sadhana are equally important. Without faith, there is no possibility of having faith in achieving the goal or having possibility of even contemplating that goal. And without, even we have faith in the goal, but if we don't have faith in the process of sadhana, the goal will remain unattained. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one should not become discouraged at any point of time, but execute this Krishna consciousness with great perseverance. And we see Mukunda, when he was rejected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was rejected by Lord Chaitanya for millions of births, and he did not mind as long as he would get the darshan of the Lord after millions of births. What his focus was, that I shall meet the Lord after so much time, even after such a long time. So therefore, the patience is very important in the practice of Krishna consciousness. And one of the very great, one of the very wonderful statements of Srila Prabhupada's purports, some very jeweled statements, Srila Prabhupada writes that one should be sure of the success at the end. Usually we expect success in the beginning. That's the whole problem, because we expect things to come our own way, the way we expect, and at the time we expect. And pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. And then Srila Prabhupada writes, success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Very important statement. And the whole success depends on the sadhana of the sadhaka. And therefore the sadhaka should be alert to just perform his sadhana very dutifully. And we find that Srila Prabhupada also mentions in one of the nice purports of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Maharaj Pratap Rudra wants to have an audience with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he is not able to meet him. And as the Lord rejects him as the king being as Vishayi, and Maharaj Pratap Rudra, even after requesting the audience of the Lord from Sarvam Bhattacharya, when he hears this rejection by the Lord, he becomes very morose. And he becomes very determined. A devotee, when he becomes morose, he does not lose his enthusiasm. He becomes more enthusiastic and more determined to reach his goal. And therefore, I always memorize or always recollect that example or the idea of the car with a spring back action. Have you seen those small toy cars? Only when you pull them back, they rush ahead to that much distance. So the spring action allows the potential energy to be stored. And as the potential energy is stored, and when you release that potential energy, it becomes kinetic energy. So when the moroseness comes, when the things become standstill in Krishna consciousness, the devotee tries to regain back his potential. Even he's pulled back, he's pushed back by Maya. Sometimes we find, we're just getting pushed and pushed. And we are not going ahead. And what happens is that the devotee always thinks that to the degree I'm going to get pushed back, to that degree I'm going to get rushed ahead. Because to the degree we pull this toy with spring action back, to that much force and that much speed it goes ahead. Therefore devotee becomes more determined to practice his Krishna consciousness. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra says, Tandara Pratigya More Nakari Be Darshan, Mora Pratigya Taha Vina Chhadi Be Jivan. Maharaj Pratap Rudra continued, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is determined not to see me, then I am determined to give up my life, I do not see him. And Prabhupada says in the purport that a devotee with Maharaj Pratap Rudra's determination will certainly be victorious in advancing in Krishna consciousness. Shri Krishna explains or confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Dhidavrita Namastascha Mam Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasate. And therefore Prabhupada says, these are the symptoms of Mahatma engaged in the Lord's service in full Krishna consciousness. We often find Srila Prabhupada talking about fully Krishna conscious. Always talks about not just Krishna consciousness. He adds this fully and full. That shows that there is no lack of effort left on the behalf of the practitioner. His duty is to make it full, and it's Krishna's job to reciprocate with this full Krishna consciousness as he wishes. And this way, we find in Srila Prabhupada's preaching, of course, he himself was so determined, so much patient, waited for so many years to just execute the order of his spiritual master. And when he went to the United States and he was staying in this house in the Bowery with this not so enthusiastic but a little prospective David. And staying in his house, and Srila Prabhupada was planning that this David is showing interest. And hardly Srila Prabhupada knew what kind of moods these hippies with LSD go through. Sometimes they are very elated, they are very enthusiastic, and the other time they are antagonistic. Srila Prabhupada wrote to Sumati Murarji, yes, I see there is one American boy, nice American boy, Prabhupada is aside, nice American boy, David, and he is taking a lot of interest in Krishna consciousness, and I feel that this is the beginning of our movement in the United States, and soon we'll have a nice place here, and we'll have a temple. And Prabhupada was depending his, he was anticipating his movement to be built upon this one David, right? He was having so much hope, right? He was full of hopes. But this David soon started behaving his normal tendencies, his normal way of getting high on LSD, and then he was becoming angry at Srila Prabhupada, and he was blaspheming. And at some point of time, it became so difficult for Srila Prabhupada that in the middle of the night, Srila Prabhupada just left that place. Again, like a derelict, struggling alone. Prabhupada came alone, struggled alone. He thought that there is such a great hope. And with this David, this hope crashed. Again, he was alone, walking in the Bowery with no one to help him. But Srila Prabhupada never lost his patience. And he went ahead and always thought of another bright opportunity. Therefore, devotees in Krishna consciousness, at any point of time, without getting deviated by so many obstacles, do not lose their patience and determination and become very rock-like, strong, like a rock. Like anything which gets nicely treated through, any metal or any kind of alloy, to the degree it gets treated, it becomes more hardened. And that element or that alloy becomes more capable of being used in very high-pressure applications. So even if we find that something comes very easy, we should become very fearful that I am getting this ecstasy, or I am getting this prize, I am getting this recognition, I am getting the credit. If I am getting it very, very cheaply, then probably my Krishna consciousness will be so weak that it won't be able to sustain future high pressures. Therefore, the more the obstacles a devotee goes through, the more hardened, the more qualified he becomes to face more trying situations. And Krishna loves that his devotees goes through this high trying situations, so that Krishna is always forced to always guard and protect this unalloyed devotee. Therefore, it is said unalloyed. Of course, unalloyed means it goes through a process of hardening and purification. All the other elements, unwanted elements, when they are gone, therefore Srila Prabhupada got this inspiration, unalloyed steel. So devotees should be like unalloyed steel. And they are completely free from all these other deficiencies that those obstacles may place through. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada says that this is the qualification of a Mahatma. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti maashrita bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. And then Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that this Mahatma, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down for me, this great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. And Srila Prabhupada says that the Mahatma has a firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve this success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord. And we find how Maharaj Parikshit was also very much in a very difficult and a trying situation, as he was cursed to die in 7 days. And the only thing Maharaj Parikshit did spontaneously was to simply leave everything and take to the shelter of the Yamuna, and at the shelter of the Yamuna to find the shelter of the great sages. Not thinking that what I should do best, what is best for me. He left that solution to be answered by the great sages. Because at this crucial juncture, it would be very important to get the counsel of so many other great assembled sages. And therefore, we find that Maharaj Parikshit's attitude or aspiration, when he was faced with such a great obstacle, he had to suddenly appear for the exam. A 7 days short notice for the preparation. And how without deviation, he just focused single-pointedly on his preparation. And Srila Prabhupada mentions very nicely that ato vihayam amum chalokam vimarshitam hetataya purastat krishnangri sevam adimanyamana upavishat prayam amartanadyam. Maharaj Parikshit sat firmly down on the banks of the Ganges to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness, rejecting all other practices of self-realization. Because transcendental loving service of Krishna is the greatest achievement. And Srila Prabhupada writes very wonderfully in this purport that because Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this information previously because of his accumulated piety and birth in high family of devotees, Vaishnavas, thus he was not interested in anything else. So when we hear so many times that we should not be interested in heavenly planets, liberation or merging in the Brahman, now does not make sense to us, but when the time of trial comes, we want to escape. We want to escape to comfort. We want to escape to a very relaxed situation. But the devotees, they push themselves through the last phases also with great determination. Just on the last phases, like we might run very nicely in the long marathon, but when it comes on the last lap, if we exhaust our energy and we feel that we want something else now, then the goal is so clear, but we can't reach it. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was one-pointedly very much focused on his goal. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that he freed himself from all kind of material association and he meditated on the lotus feet of Krishna. And what was the meaning of this? Prabhupada mentions, to become free from all material association means to cease completely from committing any further sins. And that's what we have the purport here, that though one must know that there are so many offenses in the chanting of the holy names, still these are the only obstacles that obstruct us from achieving our goal. Therefore, to be free from material association means to be free from committing further sins, and to meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord means to become free from the effects of the previous sins. So the first responsibility is to become free from committing any further sins, and then the process of Krishna consciousness helps us in eradicating the effects of the previous sins. And Prabhupada mentions that still when everything is very nice, the conditions of the material world are so made that one has to commit sins willingly or unwillingly. And the best example is Maharaj Parikshit. He had no intention of committing an offense to this great sage, Samyak Rishi. And Prabhupada mentions that, but he also became a victim of offense. And even though he was ever unwilling to commit such a mistake, he was cursed. And Prabhupada says that the principle is that one should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Only in such a mood, the Lord will help the devotee make regular progress toward the path of liberation and thus attain the lotus feet of the Lord. And the glaring example Prabhupada mentions about the difference between the conditional duties of a devotee and the constitutional duties of a devotee. So conditional duties of a devotee regarding to the body and occupation are there which the devotee performs with great care and attention. And constitutional duties is to practice Krishna consciousness. But sometimes the devotee tries his best so that the conditional duties and the constitutional duties go parallel and they do not conflict each other. But by the force of nature, sometimes it so happens that the conditional duties seem to conflict the constitutional duties, like sickness or some bodily difficulties or any kind of obstacle of the mind or the modes of material nature which the obstacles may provide. But Prabhupada mentions that if the devotee is still firm on continuing his practice without deviation, the Lord will accept this providential arrangement which the devotee had no control over and will help him resolve that conflict. And the glaring example is that of Akrur. Akrur is being ordered by Kamsa to invite Krishna to Mathura. And inviting Krishna to Mathura, his plan was to kill Krishna in a wrestling match. Now this was the conditional duty of Akrura as a minister of Kamsa to obey the order of the king. But the constitutional duty or the constitution of Akrura was that he was the devotee of Krishna. And he wanted that Lord Shri Krishna should be not be subjected to such a vengeful action of Kamsa. But still he had his conditional duties. So he went on the chariot. He ascended the chariot living for Mathura. But his consciousness was that he was eager to get the darshan of the Supreme Lord in a favorable mood of devotional service. He was anticipating that Krishna's footprints would be on the way. There would be wonderful activities, and he was being reminded of the wonderful leelas of the Lord. But Akrura was always thinking, but I have come to invite Krishna as a messenger of Kamsa. But with all these difficulties, with all these encumbrances or all this kind of awkward situation that I am in, I hope Krishna will certainly understand the situation. And because Krishna will understand that I have simply come as a messenger of Krishna, as a duty of a minister, but reality, in a real way, I am just his devotee and I simply want to serve him. And therefore sometimes devotees not been able to associate with devotees, not able to render service in kind of trying circumstances. Some devotees go abroad, some devotees are put up in the ship onto the sea. But it so happens that the devotee's consciousness is always constantly remembering and chanting the holy names of the Lord. This kind of conditional, encumbrances by which he is obstructed does not hamper the devotee's progress. Like the gopis of Vrindavan, when they heard the beautiful flute, the flute was simply the expression of unalloyed love of the Lord, of the Supreme Lord for his devotees. When it vibrated into the flute and it just spread to the whole holy atmosphere of Vrindavan and it reached the ears of the gopis could not control themselves. Though they were already absorbed, But because this call of the Lord was there, they could not just stop themselves. Some were decorating themselves, some were feeding their babies, some were serving their husbands, some were taking care of their in-laws, and some were milking the cows. They simply stopped everything. They just dropped everything and they just rushed to the Supreme Lord, and not even giving a thought, even for a moment, about the security, about the kind of reaction that would come. Because we see in the case of Bali Maharaj, when Bali Maharaj was cheated by Vamandev, Bali Maharaj spent some time for a moment thinking, what I must do. I mean, Bali Maharaj had to ponder to surrender. But the gopis were so absorbed, already surrendered to the Supreme Lord, that they did not have to give that thought at all. And this is the supreme devotion of the damsels of Raj, which give us the impetus that just being constantly absorbed in the Supreme Lord means that the surrender is already achieved. And no separate endeavor for surrendering is required if one is constantly absorbed in the various processes of devotional service. And therefore we see also that in the case of Vibhishan, also very wonderful character of Vibhishan in the Ramayana, very, very glaring character. He is unrevealed character till the end. That does not mean that he was not a devotee. Hanumanji's glories were revealed only when the Supreme Lord met Hanumanji and requested his service. So devotees are potentially absorbed, and the Lord evokes their absorption in a way to glorify them. And sometimes to glorify them, the Supreme Lord puts them in great trying circumstances, just for some purification, for the first thing. And the second thing, that separation from the Lord makes the union or makes the feeling of affection more and more sweeter. And thirdly, Krishna wants to glorify this devotee. So Vibhishan was counseling Ravana that you simply give back Sita along with all the gifts and make a truce with Lord Ram. And Ravana was trying to get the counsel of every other ministers. But Vibhishan was giving his strong counsel as a well-wisher and then a younger brother. But when Ravana simply refused, what did Vibhishan do? Okay, you go to hell. And I don't do it. I simply back out from the whole situation. I simply wait and see. No, Vibhishan simply got up from that place along with his club and the four Rakshasa attendants and simply left that place. So when one is averse to Maya, then one is immediately attracted to Krishna. There is no gap, right? Vibhishan's counsel was to help Ravana, but Ravana was not taking his help. That meant that there was no service for him there. Therefore, a devotee just grabs for any opportunity for service and he simply dedicates himself without a thought to the Supreme Lord. And then Vibhishan comes and he reaches the shores and he requests Sugriva to bring his message that Vibhishan, the younger brother of Ravana, has come for taking refuge, for having refuge in the lotus feet of Lord Ram. This is a very proper way of approaching Krishna through his devotee. So Sugriva was approached by Vibhishan and not directly approached Supreme Lord Ramchandra. And the whole conversation then went on that is Vibhishan a spy or is Vibhishan a surrendered soul? Finally, after getting opinions from Mayanda, Jambavan and Hanumanji and Sugriva, Lord Ram decided that if anyone comes to me for seeking refuge, I cannot refuse him protection even if I have to give up my life for that. And Lord says that what to speak of Vibhishan. If Vibhishan had taken refuge of me in Lanka, I would have gone to Lanka and given him shelter. What to speak? Vibhishan has come here to take my refuge. So more the while, he has reduced my effort of going there to Lanka and giving him refuge. So why should not I give refuge to Vibhishan when he is asking and he is coming and begging before me? Therefore, devotees, in any situation, they are switching. Like, as long as their consciousness is preserved, they can't but help switch to different situations very quickly adapting and engaging in the one-pointed service of the Lord. And in this way we also see that the Supreme Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that apichesu duracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadur eva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. That even if one commits abominable action, he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered to be saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in this only that in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, being situated within his heart, the Lord purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. Not only purifies him but also excuses him. And Prabhupada mentions that this occasional fall down is at once rectified. We find in the case of Bharat Maharaj that example, that even if he fell down, the Supreme Lord gave him that remembrance by which he would always be reminded of his exalted position and to continue. And I was just one of the very nice purports in the fifth canto regarding the Bharat Maharaj's episode. Prabhupada writes, "By the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is sometimes punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva is increased. And for that, by his intense desire only, he returns home in the next lifetime. And the process for attaining that is engaging in devotional service, tad anushravan manana sankirtan aradhana and smaran abhiyogena." And then Prabhupada mentions that those who have taken to Krishna consciousness should be very careful that not a single moment is wasted and not a single moment is spent. This is how Srila Prabhupada is to spend his money, right? Literally. Like, you know, Prabhupada is mentioning about the single moment. His single paisa was accounted in his ledger, right? His accounts being kept. Apart from all those things that he was absorbed in, Prabhupada was absorbed in engaging everything very, 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 very carefully. And not a single moment is spent without chanting and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his activities. By his own actions and his actions of his own devotees, Krishna teaches us a lesson how to become cautious in devotional service. Through the medium of Bharat Maharaj, Krishna teaches us how one must carefully discharge devotional service in full time. Someone, Maharaj was there, I forget the name of the sannyasi, and he said, there is no concept of part-time devotee in ISKCON. I am a part-time devotee. Any devotee has to be full-time. And that's how Prabhupada mentions, what is the consciousness of a full-time devotee like this? As far as International Society for Krishna Consciousness is concerned, as the members are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna Consciousness movement. Yet they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in what? In frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. And Prabhupada says, eating is not prohibited, but we eat voraciously, then we shall certainly sleep more than required. And Prabhupada says, in that way our spiritual progress may be checked. And therefore you must take the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami, avirta kalatvam. And in this way, we must use every moment of our life for rendering devotional service and nothing else. That is a secure position for returning back to Godhead and nothing else. Patience, determination, very careful, cautious, not to waste time, and always ready for the service of the Lord. And these ways we find Srila Prabhupada guiding us in all of this wonderful purpose in the case of Vritrasur, where he was faced with very difficult situation. But then his consciousness was so fixed, Chitrakitu Maharaj did not even retaliate, did not justify his position. Maharaj Parikshit did not justify his position. Rather than justifying his position and trying to put forward his own case, he engaged more and gave more of him than previously. And we see the examples of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was cheated outright by the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord outrightly cheated him. But still, he took it so wonderfully and took it as an opportunity to surrender to the Supreme Lord. And the glaring example of the most, the epitome of all example is the devotion of the Braj gopis of Vrindavan. Those gopis who had to stay back or who were obstructed by their family members who could not come, simply in separation of the Supreme Lord, that agony of separation was so intense that it purified themselves because they were still not qualified to enter into the association of the Supreme Lord. By the heat of the separation, they were qualified for the next time. And some gopis simply left their bodies simply because they could not attain. And in this way, they were elevated to the association of the Supreme Lord in the next lives. Therefore, a devotee always takes these obstacles as a stepping stone to become more absorbed, become more determined, patiently executing with great care and attention. In this way, here, Parikshit Maharaj is being encouraged by Shukdev Goswami to note this fact very carefully, that ultimately the exclusive shelter is to constantly chant and remember the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Thank you very much.